everyone, and welcome once again to the Orlando Magic Daily Podcast. This is a game recap for January 20th, 2016, and the Orlando Magic have been playing very poorly, and once again, they fall at home to the Philadelphia 76ers, 96-87. They did that as well last year. They've probably been the only team in the NBA to lose to the Sixers in at least once in each of the last 3 years, as they've struggled to overcome this team, and Philadelphia really took it to them tonight. Not quite from the start, but certainly Philadelphia played like a team that was more confident and composed, and when the Magic had a chance to bury them, they didn't take advantage of it early in the game, and that's something the Magic have struggled with, and the Magic got staggered back and just could not quite put in the right effort and the right punch back to pick up a win. And now we've got some big questions about the Orlando Magic. And as they've hit the midpoint of the season now at 20-21, they've lost 8 of 9 here in the month of January, playing at home for the first time since heading to London last week. They just look really lost, really lethargic, really just a very low effort, low energy game from them. Very frustrating effort. There's a litany of things that they're doing wrong, and it's hard to list them all out because it's really everything.
So it's pretty much everything right now. I mean, our defense is, it's been poor. Tonight it was poor. We couldn't really dig down and get stops as a unit, as a team. We couldn't get consecutive stops in a row, and that's what hurt us. I mean, you know, we were able to score a ball, in the fourth. But if we can't get stops, there's no way we can get back and cut that lead down.
And the Magic, really, they couldn't get stops consecutively. Philadelphia shoots about 50% from the floor, 48.6%, 47.4% from beyond the arc at 9 for 19. It was a lot of just really basic things that the Magic were struggling with all night. The final nail in the coffin, the Magic had actually cut the lead down to 4 with about 9 minutes to play. In the fourth quarter, they started playing with some urgency, really started playing better. And, you know, even I'm not someone that thinks Philadelphia is as bad as people tend to think they are, as the narrative tends to think they are, but Philadelphia is a bad team. And there was still a sense that, you know, if the Magic would just wake up, they could come back in and still give themselves a chance to win. And they did have that. But, very basic details of the game plan were forgotten, were lost. Scott Skiles said after the game that the game plan on Isaiah Cannon is you have to have your heels over the three-point line and press up on him. Well, down 4 points, the Magic needing another stop to get within one possession again. Evan Fournier is laying off of Isaiah Cannon, and Cannon's been a guy that's killed the Magic the first time they played them, and was killing the Magic in this game as well. He finishes with 15 points off the bench, 3 or 4 from beyond the arc, and the Magic didn't get a hand in his face, didn't have a body into him, didn't look at the game plan, pretty much. Didn't follow the game plan, and a pretty simple one at that. It was not a difficult three. It was not Fournier late on a rotation. He was waiting for Cannon, and Cannon just rose up and shot over him in a way that he's done plenty of times. And again, those little details, it was just crushing all night long. The Magic were having players run to the same spot, clogging up the spacing and giving no passing option. They were over dribbling again, getting maybe one or two dribbles too deep and throwing up a wild shot and not getting a foul call, which they didn't deserve because there was no foul being called. The Sixers defense was solid in the middle, even without Nerlens Noel for most of the game. There was missed open three-pointers. Philadelphia really upped their pressure in the second half and forced the Magic to deal with pressure, and the Magic just struggled with it. They struggled to get off passes cleanly, and with the way the Magic run their offense, the guy's got to catch the ball cleanly and move immediately, and so if he has to bobble the ball, that throws off the timing of the offense and allows the defense to reset itself. And so not only was the Magic not getting stops, they were also not able to reset, able to get the defense moving and kind of attack, get in attack mode while the defense is rotating to defend them. And, you know, early on, it seemed like the Magic were going to do that. And they took a 20-10 lead and seemed to have things rolling. And then the bottom just fell out. And the Magic didn't respond and just seemed to let frustration build and build and build and build and boil over in a way that affected their play. And it was disheartening to see and frustrating to see for certainly the coaching staff and certainly for Scott Skiles.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we all come to work. I mean, what if all of us could come to work and just say, "Hey, boss, I'm frustrated today. I don't feel like doing it." You know, I mean, be a pretty bad world then. I mean, you know, if that's all we can muster mentally, then you know, it's not going to look good for us the rest of the year. Our goal right now should be simply to win a game.
Scott Skiles is certainly not one to mince words, and you got to agree with him. The goal simply at this stage is to win a game, just to get that feeling again and kind of try and climb your way out. His press conference was largely a criticism of the team's effort, the team's focus and attention to detail. It just wasn't there, as I noted before. They weren't executing simple things, and they were letting Philadelphia dictate the play both physically and to the pace and in every way. I mean, if the Sixers were a better team, this would have been a Cleveland-like blowout, and it certainly felt like that. And certainly there feels like there needs to be some type of change, whether it's to the starting lineup, you know, to the roster in general, although I think even with the trade deadline coming up, I think that's something that gets addressed more adequately in the summer rather than during the season, where, you know, not all the pieces are in play. But there is a real problem with this team. If you look at the statistics in January, the Magic are, by all accounts, the second worst team in the NBA in the month of January. Their net rating was the second worst coming into the game, only ahead of the Phoenix Suns. Their offensive rating, and again, they did not have a good offensive rating tonight, scoring 87 points, shooting 39.3% from the floor, and 4 of 17 from beyond the arc. Even with grabbing 13 offensive rebounds and having 50 points in the paint, the offense was terrible tonight, less than 100 points per 100 possessions. If I'm not mistaken, in January, they've only had one game where they've averaged more than a point per possession, and that was the game against the Toronto Raptors that went to overtime. That was a game where the Magic said they wanted to, they thought they'd shown flashes that they can get back to where they were, and they can continue to move forward and kind of come out of the slump. And they came back from London, laid a complete egg in Atlanta, very much similar to this game, where the team just did not seem to have energy, did not seem willing to execute, was pressing and trying to force their way into good offense and good defense, getting upset when it didn't work. This is a team that's not able to do that. They cannot force things, especially without Victor Oladipo, who is someone that can get into the paint and get into the lane and score a little bit. This is just not that kind of team. You know, there were a few positive signs that are worth noting. I thought Elfrid Payton was very good. It was the first time, I think, since his injury that he looked like he was 100% back. He played really, really well, got into the paint, got people open, really was trying. I think of all the players in the Magic's main rotation, he was the one guy who was really trying to get his team moving and get them going, and no one else just was able to pick up the slack with him. Payton finished with 21 points, 10 assists, 3 turnovers, shot 8 of 13, 5 of 9 from the foul line, so he did leave some points there, 6 rebounds. I asked Skiles about it, you know, thinking Payton was somewhat of a bright spot, trying to bring the guys along, trying to be a leader on the team, and it wasn't a night to think about many positives, because the team just didn't have it tonight. You know, there's definitely some defensive problems that Payton had in containing Smith, who had another solid game, 13 points and 11 assists for the 76ers. Just a lot of little different things that just went down. It was no one else came with them, really. Again, Evan Fournier, 3 of 14 from the floor, 9 points, 2 for 5 shooting from beyond the arc, missed a ton of open threes, especially early. Even though the Magic were in the lead, they scored 18 of their 21 points in the first quarter in the paint. So they were doing good things. They were getting good shots. They were attacking the glass, and they were finding ways to make up for their bad shooting percentage. But they just weren't able to sustain that for whatever reason. And it felt like frustration was the reason. But the Magic did show some urgency later in the game. They were down by 10, 11, 12 points. They cut it down to four. It looked like they were going to give themselves a chance to win until those mishaps. And that was a sign that they can still reach into that well and play that way. But finding that urgency is the key still for this team.
We fought. We definitely fought tonight. But we just couldn't get stops. You know, I think that's that fourth quarter was about 9 minutes ago. That's the urgency we need to play with all the time.
Is it a confidence thing now, or an execution thing, or just, you know, one lead to the other?
I think it's just an execution thing. It's still trusting each other and just really putting it all together, not letting our team fracture.
And that point about the team fracturing is something that Aaron Gordon has brought up before. It's getting to a point in the season where, you know, the Magic are falling out of the playoff race quickly, and they've set the playoffs as a goal, as they should, and it's definitely a realistic goal that they can achieve. They're in the conversation at 20-21 and slipping, but still in the conversation and still with a chance to straighten things out. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of finger pointing except at themselves right now in that Magic locker room, but it's also frustrating in the sense that they know they're doing something wrong and they can't quite fix it. They can't quite get over that hump and solve the problems that they know they have. And that's the most frustrating thing to me watching this team is and hearing them and being around them is they know what's wrong, or they have an idea of what's wrong and they just can't fix it for whatever reason. And a lot of it's mental. I don't think it's scheme. This team can execute the scheme, but There is something of a buy-in and trust issue right now. I mean, I watch Nikola Vucevic, who a lot of fans like to pile on for his poor defense, and it's, I don't think Nikola Vucevic is as bad a defender as a lot of people think he is. But I think what's happened, and it was really clear in Monday's game loss to the Hawks, he's stuck in no man's land. He's not making decisions on what he's trying to do defensively. And I think part of it is because he doesn't trust the guys behind him to have his back. When Jeff Teague is coming down the lane, I see Vucevic hedging or stunting a lot more and trying to keep contact with an Al Horford because he knows that forward is not coming down to help him. And that's huge. And that indecision gives Teague the advantage, obviously. What needs to happen there is Vucevic needs to take the man with the ball until the point guard can recover, and someone will take his man behind him or be in position to take his man behind him. And again, that's not happening. And that didn't happen against Philadelphia. Philadelphia was able to move the ball. They were able to get the ball to Jahlil Okafor a lot. They were able to get three-pointers in big moments and take this Magic team apart. Again, the defense was just eviscerated. They could not get stops when they needed them, and they couldn't get stops in the third quarter, particularly when Philadelphia scored 34 points and took control of the game from the Magic. It was a frustrating evening for Orlando through and through, and it was more frustrating by the fact that this really did feel like a must-win game, or as much as a game in January can be a must-win game. The Magic have had a difficult schedule. The schedule in February and March, if you haven't looked at it, is ridiculously difficult. It's a lot of really good teams coming up on the schedule. Scott Skiles is a guy that focuses in very closely on the game at hand. He's not one that's tried to look at stretches of the schedule, but even he has said. We've got to get ourselves straight because February and March are going to be very difficult for this team. They needed to bank these wins. And this is a game, this little two-game homestand coming back from London and from Atlanta now was an opportunity to get some wins. You had a Philadelphia team that's coming in at 5-38, worst team in the league, a team that you, by all rights, should defeat. And then you play a Charlotte team that's been struggling lately, that's in your weight class, supposedly, a team that you can build some confidence in by getting a home win. And it was a big opportunity before a road trip next week. The Magic didn't take care of their business. And to be frank, it looked like they kind of felt like they could walk in and win it. They go up 20-10. Everything seems to be going fine. The second unit comes in, drops the ball, and the starters can't pick it back up again. And yes, this team's dealing with some depth issues, with C.J. Watson's injury and Victor Oladipo's injury, but it's still not an excuse. There's still enough talent on the roster and still should be enough leadership to play with some energy and at least give themselves a chance to win. The Magic didn't have a chance to win tonight, and it was clear by their effort. And so they enter a game on Friday with all that in mind that still feels like a must-win game and feels like it's a game where the Magic have to begin showing progress and ending this frustration. Or otherwise, this could get very, very, very bad, and we could be staring at another very difficult half season, as well as a record that doesn't show the kind of progress that the Magic wanted to show.
Just we have to find a way. I mean, we got to find a way as a team to really sneak out a win and get a win and build some confidence and have some momentum. Obviously we're frustrated as a group, but we got to stay positive and be ready for the next one. I mean, we have to, let this one pass, but we have to learn from it, and we have to get ready for the next. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's a must-win game.
And the Magic will play that game Friday night at the Amway Center against the Charlotte Hornets, a very big game, especially in the wake of this disappointing effort from the team at home against the Philadelphia 76ers. Once again, the Philadelphia 76ers defeat the Orlando Magic 96-87 at the Amway Center. A difficult loss, hopefully one that becomes a blip on the radar, a wake-up call, and we see some real change out on the court coming up on Friday night. Again, the Philadelphia 76ers defeat the Orlando Magic 96-87 at the Amway Center. We'll be back with you Friday night after the game for another edition of the Orlando Magic Daily Podcast. This has been Philip Rossman-Wright. Thanks for listening.